Professor Linda Gail Becker joins me on the line now, co-principal investigator on the Johnson & Johnson implementation study. Linda, it's lovely to chat to you again. It's been a while. Good morning.
Morning, Africa. Real pleasure.
Let's perhaps reflect then on the family meeting called by the president yesterday. Given the dramatic decline in the number of new infections that we're reporting, according to stats from the Department of Health, the president had no choice but to move us to level one, right?
Yeah, I think, Africa, it's a really, you know, difficult balancing act. And I think what he's hoping is that individuals will use their discretion. I mean, it's not like any of us don't know about SARS-CoV-2 now and COVID-19. And I think there's, you know, the need to balance the economy, normality, people's fatigue, with the fact that we ourselves as individuals have to take responsibility now and make sure that we practice the three C's and, you know, try to prevent transmission in communities.
Because ultimately it is our collective responsibility. He also yesterday mentioned that we've recently signed an agreement with Johnson & Johnson to secure 11 million dosages. Of those, 2.8 will be delivered in the second quarter and the rest spread throughout the year. We've also secured 20 million dosages from Pfizer, and we have also secured 12 million vaccines from COVAX facility are in the process of finalizing our dose allocation from the African Union. We are seeing a ramping up, if you like, of the rollout of the vaccine. They might not physically be in the country, but at least plans are afoot to, get to that target of 40 million by the end of the year?
Yeah, I think it does sound like that, Africa, and I'm, you know, really excited. I think this probably is definitely one of the ways that we can try and move back towards normality. If we get as many people immune as possible, maybe not necessarily stopping transmission, but at least stopping severe disease and death, I think, you know, that will take a lot of the anxiety of the COVID epidemic out of our lives, and hopefully we can really try to get back to getting on with our lives.
I suppose it's early days and there's so much that we need to learn and understand about COVID-19. But are we likely to see a situation where COVID-19 will be around for quite some time, and through vaccine and through all sorts of other non-health interventions, we will learn to live with it, do you think?
I think that is one of the scenarios for sure. I think increasingly we're coming to understand that, you know, it's a virus, much like influenza. It's airborne. It's difficult to completely eradicate, probably, and given its, you know, its presence around the world. And likely we are going to have to make some adjustments and learn to live with it. But I think the success with finding a vaccine, and in fact now three or four, you know, useful, effective vaccines, I think it does give hope for an element of control, at least, if not totally elimination.
Let's focus now on the Johnson & Johnson implementation study that you are co-principal investigator on. 63,648 healthcare workers receiving vaccinations by this past Friday. I imagine that number has increased quite dramatically. We received another batch of 80,000 vaccines on Saturday. What happens next in the implementation study?
Well, Africa will continue as these tranches of vaccines come in. We'll continue to, you know, as effectively and as urgently as possible to vaccinate healthcare workers. So we really are targeting frontline healthcare workers. Again, this is a major precaution. Should we have a third wave, we want to be sure that our healthcare force is able to withstand disease and death. And make sure they can stay on their feet. So it's the first salvo, if you like, in a vaccine strategy. And, you know, we're filling that waiting period of when we expect the vaccines and can really get into gear with the national vaccine rollout. We're filling that gap with making sure we're not wasting time in vaccinating healthcare workers.
The announcement this past week, and I think it was actually yesterday, from the U.S. Food Drug Administration issuing the emergency use authorization for the Johnson & Johnson vaccine for the prevention of COVID-19 in the U.S. This bodes well, right? Because the health authorities are still to consider approving Johnson & Johnson for wide use in South Africa. But enough from the data you are gathering, enough from certainly the U.S. and other countries are already using Johnson & Johnson in testing it, we should have it given the thumbs up by the authorities, right?
Yeah, and you know, excitingly, this particular vaccine was tested here in South Africa. We had 7,000 South Africans on that trial. So we know that it's effective against the currently circulating variant. I think it's the first major milestone is that the Food and Drug Administration approves it. They often lead in that regard. Obviously, it's important our own regulator sees it, that they understand and approve the data. And hopefully that will all go well for licensure here in this country as well. I think it's a vaccine that's relatively easy to use. It's a single dose. It's easily transported and managed. And for all these reasons, you know, I think it's important to have that in our vaccine strategy.
And on the whole, very few and limited number of side effects reported by those you've already vaccinated, right?
Yes, it's a very safe vaccine. I remind people that we expect reactogenicity. So this is that, you know, those 1 to 2 days where you might feel a little bit out of sorts, you have a bit of a sore arm, you might have a headache, even a little bit of a fever. But that tells us that the vaccine is doing its job. Those settle down in a day or two. And then, you know, really protection kicks in day 7, day 14, and is full going by day 28. So, you know, an exciting vaccine to have in our strategy.
Let's, I suppose, understand the logistics and the lessons that you are learning from that. As I said, by Friday, 63,648 healthcare workers had been vaccinated. This was well ahead of your target, or your schedule, at least anyway, of 80,000 in 14 days. What have been some of the key lessons that you have learned so far in the rollout of the strategy?
Yeah, I think if anything, our problem has been more demand than supply. And I guess that's a good problem to have, although clearly managing folk and managing their expectations is always tricky when it's a rationed commodity. So that's probably been one of the most difficult lessons. Secondly, I think it is just about setting up vaccine centres, making sure there's really good communication between all the health authorities as well as the centres themselves. We're using an electronic data system, which National Health has set up. I think it initially needed to find its groove. I think we're in a better place now. So, you know, we're encouraging healthcare workers to register. We're then sort of opening up opportunities for having them actually come into the system just in a way to manage crowds and crowd control. So, yeah, I think it has been an extraordinary learning curve, but the actual administration of the vaccine itself is relatively easy. As mentioned, it's very safe. And so, you know, once the vaccine center is up and going, it seems we're able to get through those numbers relatively quick. So, you know, people are spending maybe 15 minutes in the system going through the actual vaccination process. But as I say, we've been having to manage a few queues and crowds simply because people are very keen to be vaccinated, and I'm delighted that they are.
Indeed. The 80,000 vaccines that arrived on Saturday, have they already been distributed to the various sites? There'll now be 49 sites, according to the president, 32 of them in public hospitals and 17 in private hospitals.
Yep, that's right. So yesterday, and then the last sort of secondary distribution will be done today. Some vaccine centres will get going today, but otherwise I think a lot were kind of getting back into gear and hitting the road again tomorrow. And yes, we expect to burn through this week's doses very quickly indeed. And then we expect more tranches down the way. All in all, we have 500,000 doses on promise for this particular program, by which time, we hope the other vaccines that government has on order will be here in the country. So, you know, we're hoping this is the initial start and ramp up, and then seamlessly moving into the vaccine campaign as planned by government.
But no date yet as to whatever the next tranche will be of the 500,000 that you'd been promised.
Well, the plan at the moment is sort of roughly 80,000 every 2 weeks. So they're coming in stages, and we expect them, and you know, we really want to be sure that we've used up all the doses before the next come. And so it's been planned out that certainly by the end of March, we will have got through a good number of those vaccine doses.
Linda, thank you very much. Lovely chatting to you again, and send you all the best as you continue with this implementation study. Professor Linda Gale-Becker, co-principal investigator on the Johnson & Johnson implementation study that is currently underway. Good news to know that in at least a fortnight or under a fortnight, we should be expecting another 80,000 vaccines as we ramp up, of course, to those numbers that were promised by the president yesterday.